weekend in the discipleship group, and today, if any of you are here and want to go off with Sarah, then you're welcome to go. So my name is Sam. I've been here for 3 years, and it's a great honour to be able to stand here and share God's word with you. Of course, I'm nobody in myself. It's God who has to speak to our hearts, so that's been my prayer that today, the things I'm saying wouldn't be my words, but they would be God's words. And I've been very challenged because the message is something that I'm growing in myself. The title of my message is Hearing the God Who Hears. And that's something that I'm growing in myself. We pray for each other. So our sermon series that we started last week was from Hebrews 11. And Aaron did an introduction, and he said, we're going to look at Hebrews 11 over the next few months, and we're going to be looking at the heroes of the faith, because we're going to be trying to learn from their faith something that can help us in our lives. And I was given the opportunity to choose a book that I wanted to, so I chose the character Samuel. An enormous story, actually. I think of all the prophets in the Old Testament, Samuel has the most written down. So I'll keep my eye on the clock. But let's turn, if you have your Bible with you or your telephone, let's turn to Hebrews 11 together, and we're going to read the definition of faith that the writer of Hebrews has given us. So we're in Hebrews 11, and we'll read verse 1 together. Certain of what we do not see. Okay, let's read that again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's interesting, isn't it? Faith is something certain, it's something sure, it's something solid, substantial. You could almost say that faith is a reality. It's based on reality. There's conviction in faith. There's evidence behind faith. It's almost physical. And when we look at the life of Samuel, then we see somebody who acts on what he knows, acts on things he's certain about, things he's sure about. So he knows God's will, he knows what God is going to do, and he acts according to that. That's faith. It's not a wishful thinking. Now, I just thought maybe a couple of examples to show you how faith might work today in our day and age, as Samuel, of course, is many, many years ago. And I thought of the story of a good friend of mine who was a pastor in the north of the Netherlands. And he was asleep in bed one night, and suddenly he was wide awake. And he heard a voice saying to him, "You are going to Den Bosch." Den Bosch is a city in the south of the Netherlands. And he knew he'd heard that. And he knew he wasn't dreaming. But he'd never had an experience like that before, so he didn't tell anybody about it. He was quite happy serving in his church. And about a year later, one of the senior members of that denomination said to him, "There's a vacancy in Den Bosch. I think we should apply." And having heard God's voice, he had confidence to apply. He didn't tell anybody about it, but he walked forward with his confidence. And he got the job, and he ended up being my pastor, and he shared that story with me years later, and he was the man who officiated it with my wedding. That's faith in action. Another short story. I work with OMF, and the founder of OMF, James Hudson Taylor, when he was about 15, he turned his back on his parents' faith. And he went off and had a worldly lifestyle. And so his mother, Amelia, started to pray for him. And she prayed for him regularly, and she prayed for him regularly. And when he was 17, she took some time to go out of the home and stay with her sister. And she had this real burden to pray for her son and to pray for his salvation. And she determined that she would go in her bedroom and she would not come out again until she had assurance. She was going to fast and pray. And she was on her knees, pleading for her son. And then at a certain moment, her prayers turned from prayer of intercession to prayer of praise. She knew that God would save her son. And when she got home a few weeks later, her son Hudson came running out to her. He said, "I've got news." And she says, "I know. You've given your heart to the Lord." And he was very upset. He thought his sister had told her. But she had faith. She had a confidence, a certainty, based on a reality that she knew was God's will. Final little short story. I was teaching English one evening, and my colleague Todd came to me, a little bit upset because he'd lost his teacher's textbook. And how was he going to teach? And he looked everywhere. And I said, "Well, we have a God who sees, so let's ask God where that book is." And so we just prayed in my classroom, and that the Lord would show Todd where that book was. And he got up, and he got in his car, and he drove home. I thought, that's a bit funny. Why doesn't he look in his classroom? And he came back, and he said to me, "While you were praying, Sam, I saw the book. I saw where it was." You know, he, humanly speaking, he couldn't know for certain, but he had faith. He had real faith. It was being certain of what he could not see. He didn't see that book in my classroom, but he was certain he knew where it was. He went home and he got it. So faith is a real thing. Faith works today. So let's move on to Samuel now. Okay, Samuel, this character, there are two books in the Old Testament that bear his name. They're a lovely story. And we see Samuel, and probably the things you know about Samuel is he's the kingmaker. You know, when Samuel goes to David's house, it's the Lord who sends him there. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn over Saul? I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king." 1 Samuel 16. Samuel knew that the Lord was sending him. And so he went there. And the first son arrives, and he thinks, "Well, this is a good-looking guy." And the Lord says, "No, I don't look on the outward appearance, I look on the heart." And they go through all the sons, you know the story. And finally, there's nobody left. And Samuel asks, "Do you have another son?" "Oh yes, there's the youngest one, he's still in the fields." And when David arrives, the Lord says, "Rise up and anoint him. He is the one." And so Samuel anoints him. He's acting by faith. He doesn't know entirely the whole story, but he has this, he knows that God is going to do something because he's heard the voice of God and he is acting according to that. Faith is being sure, faith is being certain. And for Samuel, that wasn't an easy thing to do. He just told Saul that the kingdom had been torn away from him. And when the Lord said to him, "Go to Bethlehem," he said, "Really? Saul will kill me." And when he got to Bethlehem, the elders came out trembling These are adult men, the elders of the city. These are people who are in charge and they're trembling. Are you coming in peace? But despite fear, despite the danger of what he's doing, going to anoint someone else king, he acts in faith. He acts on what God is doing. And of course, Samuel didn't only anoint David as king, he anointed Saul as king before that. You'll remember the story too, how the people came and the Lord said, they're not rejecting you, Samuel, they're rejecting me as their king. And Samuel was very saddened by this, but he anointed Saul as king. So Samuel is the kingmaker of early Israel. He's also their judge, their leader. We see Samuel going around. He's got a circuit that he goes around on, from his home in Ramah to Bethel to Mitzpah to Gilgal and then back to his home. He's the leader of the people. He's the judge. He's bringing God's law to them. He's acting like a king, actually. It's interesting that Saul's servant, has a very interesting witness of Samuel in this role. If you have a look in 1 Samuel 9, 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. The servant says, "Look, in this town there's a man of God. He's highly respected, and everything he says comes true." Isn't that interesting? Yeah? Somebody knew that Samuel was somebody who had words that came true. This is their judge. This is their leader. And even when the Philistines were going to attack at Mitzpah, then we see Samuel leading the people and interceding for them. So we've got the kingmaker, we've got the judge and leader, we've got the priest. Samuel is a priest too. He makes sacrifices for the people. If you read the early chapters of Samuel, he goes and he's the one who officiates at the sacrifices. And he's also somebody who's bringing God's word to people. Even when he might be worried about it, or afraid, or it brings him into danger, we see him bringing God's word to a family, like Eli and the family. We see him bringing God's word to individuals, and we see Samuel bringing God's word to the kings. Samuel is a prophet, he's a priest, he's the kingmaker, he's the king, or leader, judge. And he's doing these things by faith. He's got this certainty, this security, this being sure of what he's meant to do. Now, how did he get that? How did he get that? How could we get something like that? Now, I'd like you to read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now let's just unpack that for a little minute. What are those days? When did Samuel live? Well, Samuel was the last of the judges, and he was the kingmaker who started the monarchy. Now, if you just turn back to the last verse of the book of Judges, you'll read something very sad, actually. This is Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, Israel had no king. Hold on a minute, wasn't God their king? But they didn't know God. They didn't follow God. In those days, Israel had their king. Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. And don't read the last few chapters of the book of Judges to your young children. It's a terrible, terrible story. I don't know whether you've ever tried to preach from those chapters. Rape, murder, genocide, abduction. This is what happens when people have no king, when people turn their back on God, and everyone doubts as they see fit. I want to remind you a little bit of some of the stories you read in the news today, isn't it? This is the time Samuel lived in, and the word of the Lord is rare in those days. And we see this boy Samuel. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? A boy Samuel ministering before the Lord. Now, there's lots of people in this room who've probably got godly mothers who prayed for them. And the story of Hudson Taylor shows the power of the prayers of a godly mother. But Samuel's story starts with a woman who is distraught, who's weeping, who can't eat, who gets up as soon as she can from the table and goes to the temple of God and pours out her soul before God. And then she has this exchange with the priest, Eli. And Eli blesses her. And she's changed. She goes home. She eats. And her face isn't downcast anymore. Hannah, Samuel's mother, had faith that God had heard. God was the God who hears. And he would this time. And she made this promise that her child would be given to the Lord. And so, probably age two or three after he'd been weaned, Samuel was taken to the temple. And he ministered before the Lord under Eli. So, he's kind of, everything he's doing for God, in God's presence. And Eli is tutoring him. Eli the priest is showing him how to do it. It's an interesting thought for some of the young people here. Have you got some schoolwork to do? Can you do it before the Lord? Can you do it as if you're doing it for God? And can you get an older Christian to tutor you in that process? So that's Samuel. And he does it quite well, because we read later on that he's ministering before the Lord. This is see where this was. 1 Samuel, his mother comes and she brings him a new coat every year, and it says that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord girded in a linen ephod. So at some point Eli says, okay, you can start wearing the ephod. You can actually wear the garments of a priest as you do your work. Okay. Now, let's read on this story, 1 Samuel 3, verse 2. But one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak so that he could barely see, so he's an old man, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. That means it was still nighttime, because they had a lamp with seven arms on it, and they kept that lamp burning throughout the night. Okay? And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. So they had the tabernacle, they had the tent that Moses had made, they had the Ark of God in it, and they had these extra buildings that the priests were staying in. So Samuel is in that compound in what they call the temple of the Lord. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and laid down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So he was. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called to Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now let's go forward to verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Okay? So, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Okay? And Samuel's word came to all Israel. It's the Lord who's appearing to Samuel, who's giving Samuel his word, and so when Samuel passes that word on, of course, none of his words fall to the ground, because actually, they're God's words. They're the Lord's words. Who is the Lord? In your English Bible, it'll be written in capital letters. Well, this is the name. This is this name that's written with four Hebrew letters that in later times in Israel's history, they weren't allowed to pronounce because it was so holy. And they put the vowels on it, the vowels from a different word, the vowels from the word Adonai, Lord. The Lord. This is the name that when Moses saw that burning bush and was talking to God, and he said, who can I say to the Israelites that sent me? The Lord said, say that I am who I am. Sent you. This is the covenant name of God. This is the name of the God who has seen the misery of his people and is going to take them out of slavery and bring them into the promised land. This is the I Am, the God who lives in an eternal present in eternity. This is the I Will Be who I will be. And it's interesting that Samuel, his mother, uses the name the Lord Almighty, or the Lord of Hosts, Yahweh Sebaot. And so Samuel's mother understood that God was extremely powerful. All the heavenly hosts were at God's command. And if you read Samuel's mother's prayers, she had this sense of the sovereignty of God over the affairs of men. And this is the Lord. This is who Samuel is praying to. I'm sure as his mother came year by year and gave him new clothes to wear and sat and talked with him, she would have told him about God, about the Lord. And yet, even though he's being trained, as we saw in verse 7, he doesn't yet know the Lord personally. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He doesn't yet have this ability to stand and pronounce, this is God's will, because it hasn't yet been revealed to him. And yet, at the end of the chapter, we saw that that the Lord continued to appear a child, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. What happened in between those two events? God, the Lord, wanted to speak to Samuel. God, the Lord, didn't give up. He kept calling. We have a God who keeps calling. And Samuel very, very humbly says, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." There's no pride in that response. If you're going to listen to God, you can't come with an arrogant heart. You need to come with a humble heart. "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I need to hear your word. I need to understand your word." And Lord, by faith, with the certainty that none of your words fail, I will act. This is, of course, an Old Testament story. You could say, well, Sam, that's Old Testament. But actually, it's interesting, isn't it? If you think about our Lord Jesus, there's a lot of parallels between the Lord Jesus and Samuel. He's the prophet. He's the priest. He's the king. He's the judge. He's the one who speaks, and none of his words come to the ground, fall to the ground. And our Lord used the word of God. If you remember the temptations, what did he do when Satan tempted him? He quoted scripture. Our Lord had a close relationship with his Father. You think about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus. Early morning, he's up praying. After he dismisses the 5,000, he's praying. When he has an important decision to make about his ministry, he spends the whole night in prayer before he chooses his 12 disciples. He teaches people how to pray. Before his passion in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's at prayer. Our Lord was someone who had such a close relationship with his Father. He could say, the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. That's an amazing verse, isn't it? The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. "I do nothing on my own," says Jesus, "but speak just what the Father has taught me. I always do what pleases him." And I love that text in John 11, where Jesus is praying at Lazarus' grave. And he lifts up his eyes, and there's enormous confidence in his words. You don't have to pray like this. He says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." What a confidence in prayer that our Lord Jesus had. And Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." As the Father sent me, says Jesus, so I am sending you. Jesus' desire for us is that we should have that same confidence that he had. "Father, I know you always hear me." The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. "I can do nothing of my own. I only do those things that I see the Father doing." Father wants us to have faith. Father wants us to be sure and certain, even of things we can't see, and to act on it. And those things will be based on his word. Because that's where Samuel got his strength from, and it's where our Lord Jesus got his strength from. How do we hear God's voice? How do we know what God's will is. We need to take time to be quiet. We need to hear his word in community. You know, if you have an audible voice, say something to you. Don't run with it. Check it out with other people, or just let God manage things in his own time and bring his word to into existence. If you don't do this, you're missing out. Jesus says, and this is in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, and these words, they challenge my heart enormously. Matthew 7, verse 21 and 23. Now you listen to this. This is an enormous challenge. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will say, tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me with your words. It's actually of primary importance that we discern what the will of our Father is in heaven. We need to be people of faith. We need to know his word. Start with the Bible and let him guide you through prayer, through his Holy Spirit, through the community of the saints, through circumstances of life, as you seek to discover what his good and perfect will is. And when you know his will, then you will be able to act in faith. This is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. 1 John 5:14. May the Lord bless us all as we're on this exciting journey of growing to be more like Jesus and learning to walk by faith. God bless you.
Respond in a couple of ways this afternoon. And the first is by singing a song that we normally sing before the sermon, but I think you'll see that it obviously fits very well afterwards today. Let's stand and sing together, speak along.